Well, good morning. It's great to be back. Yay! So, it's about diversity. I'm going to start off with talking about two diverse people, Clifford and Daisy. They were married for 65 years. And when they would get in a confrontation, Clifford could be heard in the middle of the night bellowing, "Woman, when I die, I'm going to dig myself out of the grave. I'm going to come back up and I'm going to haunt you." Well, the neighbors all heard this and they were a little afraid of Clifford, and Clifford liked that. But Clifford died. He was 90. And they had the funeral and they came back to the house, and the neighbors said, "Daisy, aren't you kind of worried that Clifford might actually dig himself out of the grave and come back and haunt you?" And she said, "Nah, let him dig. I buried him upside down, and he'll never ask for directions." So here we have people that are, there's a diversity here. There's, in this room, there's an amazing diversity. It's all around us. Clifford and Daisy are not the same people, but they stayed together. Something about their energies complemented each other because of our differences. And it's because of our differences that is our gift. You know, we think we got to polish ourselves up and so that we can be presentable, but you know, there's something about being in the rough too. You know, that's really, that's a teaching in itself. So we have biodiversity. Driving here from Oakland, I was looking at all the trees on the freeway and going, "Wow, look at all this." We can just look outside. And when the Europeans came to this continent, they encountered the indigenous people, and they were growing crops very different. This culture, you know, the indigenous people, they had a culture, and there's a story that built up around it called the Three Sisters. And the Three Sisters represented corn, beans, and squash. So, what they would do is they would mound the dirt, put a fish in the bottom of it, and they would plant beans, corn, and squash. And the corn would come zooming right out of the ground. It was first to grow. And the beans would go, "Oh, this is an opportunity," hook themselves around the corn. As the corn grew up, up went the beans. And so the beans were really benefiting from this. And then the squash would come up, do ground cover, keep the weeds down. So they all grew well together, and they were all unique. But as a team, they were great. Now you might say, "Well, I don't know about that. Looks like the bean gets the free ride here." You know, "I'd like to be a bean. You know, what's going on here? You know, the corn's doing all the work and then the squash is just laying around." And so we don't look at what's under the soil. In our relationships, we can see the external and we can judge the external, but we don't have the bigger picture. What's going on under the dirt? And that's where the magic's happening. It's the unseen aspect. Now, underneath, the beans are producing enzymes and they're doing work on the soil that's beneficial to the corn and the squash. So you can see that all three carry their own weight. Interesting. We're in community. There's, if we look around, we can see that there's a lot of people that are carrying a lot of weight, but there are also other people that play their part. And everybody, in a way, plays their own part. Can we be okay with playing our own part? And if we're called to expand, then we expand. Or if we're called to pull back, we do it. But we play our part. We dance our dance because that is our gift. Not somebody else's dance, but our dance, my unique dance. So we know biodiversity is really important. We can see it everywhere. But human diversity is equally as important. And I'm talking about age, race, culture, education, financial ability, all of these aspects. But when we think of right off diversity, when I hear it, I go, oh, my initial knee-jerk reaction is to focus it all down. It's black people, white people. That's what diversity means. And that is such a, well, it's true also, but it's such a limited point of view because it's so much greater. So much greater, and we will see that. So our differences challenge us, and they take us out of our comfort zone into what I like to call our growth zone. So when we're up against something that we don't know, that is out of our comfort zone. But if we do enter into the growth zone, we have to leave our comfort zone and step over here, and that might be a little scary. This is one of the main reasons why we don't necessarily engage with other people that we don't know. We pick people that we do know, that look like us, that are familiar. We think we know who they are, but we all have our own unique story. And it's our differences that make us so unique and so special. But yet, it's difficult in a sense for us to honor our differences. And that's where our growing edge is honoring the differences. Not only honoring them, but welcoming them. So when we get into like a board meeting here at the center, here, there's a lot of diverse opinions, a lot of diverse speaking styles, but there's also a lot of diverse ideas that can come up. And so when the community gets together, as you see you're going to be doing here, ideas on how to increase abundance, you all bring your own ideas. We're richer because you showed up to that meeting. So not only does it you bring your own ideas, but it also brings a fresh focus, a different point of view that's from your unique background. And lastly, it teaches us cooperation, and it teaches us flexibility. When I'm sitting in board meetings, I'm going, God, I wish they'd show up. Shut up, excuse me. I can't take them any more of this talking. And I'm probably the only one, but but you know, if they say that one more time, if I hear that story one more time, but you know, if we look back at it, you know, maybe they need to tell that story one more time. Maybe it's the attention that they need. Have I become curious? Have I really looked into the situation? Or have I have my habitual knee-jerk reaction? And what's the spiritual path all about other than unloading our baggage so that we're fresh and clean and alive in the moment? Because as soon as I bring all my beliefs to the table and all my opinions and all of my challenges and I just bring them all in, then I'm tripping over them all the time. If I were to leave them at the door and walk in fresh, I might learn something. I might go from my comfort zone into my growth phase and not have to have all my baggage around all the time. Well, we can tell that when you leave your comfort zone, like Reverend Kristen did, and goes to Egypt, whoa, everything is different. Language, money, food, customs, the way men relate to women. There's a lot of things going on here, a lot to take in. But when you're thrown out of your comfort zone into your growth zone, something very special can happen. Because you open up, because you're forced to. You're forced to listen a little bit deeper. Everything becomes a little bit more available. This is the beauty of travel, and I know you know what I'm talking about. When you travel, you tend to be more available. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So why do we resist Why do we resist being available, opening? Why don't we just embrace all the cultures and just open up? Well, it's unfamiliar. We don't know. We don't know if this is dangerous or not. We are not familiar with it. Now, when I was growing up, I started out with Honda motorcycles. They had just come over. They were elegant little things. And I loved them. I took them apart. I worked on them, and I ended up being a mechanic. And I started working at Oakland Honda, and Oakland Honda also had British motorcycles and Spanish motorcycles. And they were horrible. I didn't like them at all. I was really prejudiced against British motorcycles and Spanish motorcycles. You know I'm talking about people. So here I am. I am not open. I like the elegance of the Japanese. Their motors come together. They come apart like this, and so there's no oil leaking out of the bottom. The British go apart like this. They always leak out of the bottom. Simple as that. Why don't they change? They're horrible. I don't want to work on them. So, plus they have, the wrenches aren't the same. They're their own unique wrenches. Go figure. So, I'm working there, and I need to work on these. And I'm grumbling and grumbling. I'm going, I can't continue grumbling about this. I'm going to have to become a little more curious. So I talked to the Triumph motorcycle mechanic. He was an old guy. And he said, these things are great. They're wonderful. They're antiques. They've been doing it this way for close to 100 years. You know, why are you fighting this? I said, because they're stupid. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm superior. I know what's best. I'm superior. My way is the best way. They shouldn't be doing it this way. You hear that? My way is best. I'm superior. I'm probably the only one that's had that thought too. So, what Bill, the old mechanic, taught me was to appreciate the difference. He's saying, they've been doing it this way, it's customary. The clients they're building it for expect this. They know how to work on this. If you give them something Japanese, they'll freak out. So they just happen to import them over here where I'm freaking out, but where they were designed for, this works. It's their culture. So you can see that getting to know other cultures might take a little bit of flexibility. It's a challenge. But I've come to appreciate Triumphs. And a while back, I bought a Royal Enfield, so which is one of those antiques. I'd since sold it because it leaked. But you can see that you can see that the diversity, the fact that I'm now capable of working on not only Hondas but Kawasaki's and Triumphs and Osas and Bultacos and Ducatis, that I've become more flexible. And that has made me a much better mechanic, because each culture has its own way and unique way of doing things, like cooking, like their religion, like their dance and their customs. It's just, it's all there if we can appreciate it, if we have the eyes to see. So George Gurdjieff, this rascal of a mystic, was born in Russia. He was a Greek Armenian, and he had a school in England that was very popular turn of the century, lots of students. And one of his, the whole team of his students got together because there was one bad apple in the whole bunch. And they said, we're out of here unless you get rid of this guy. We can't stand him. We just can't stand him. He's not one of us. He doesn't fit here. Gurdjieff said, okay, leave. Who's going to teach him if we don't? You guys know what's up. You're making your way in the world. But this guy doesn't have a clue. Who's going to teach him if we don't? Who's going to embrace him? Who's going to come close? Who's going to show some concern? Who's going to ask him to dance? Or is he the outcast? Well, somehow word got back to the bad apple, and he took off. He said, I don't need this. And Gurdjieff was upset. And Gurdjieff went out after him to bring him back, and did. He bribed him with money. He said, we need you here because you bring out the shadow in the whole group. You bring out where everyone is stuck and is intolerant. You bring out their conditioning and their prejudices and their points of view. You bring that out. That's invaluable. For your spiritual growth, you need the rough edges to break your edges off. Because when you get two rough edges together, they collide and they sort of smash each other, and you become smoother in the process. And that's the whole idea as we bump up against each other, is that we knock off our rough edges. We become more tolerant, more loving, more accepting. But usually it's not an easy task. We don't like to be pushed around. We don't like to be our little edges bumped up against it. But if this is what's happening in the invisible, though, you might not see it on the outside, but something, every time that you take that risk, that you say something to somebody that you don't know, that looks different than you, you say, hey, hi, how you doing? You're saying I love you. It's in the message, as Carol was saying. But you're reaching out. And what's spirituality really all about? Then really embracing all of it with an open heart. That's a piece of work. I won't sugarcoat it. It's a piece of work. But we've come here, all of us have come here to become masters. Masters of giving and receiving love. That's it. Yes, if somebody asks you, what's your purpose? It's to give and receive love and to become a master of it. So, what we know is that diversity, in its own sense, polishes us. It provokes us. It challenges us. And that's the good thing, and that's its purpose. We know diversity is a fact. It's all diverse. Everything is diverse. But what about inclusion? And what about coming together, belonging? How do we get there? That's a choice. Inclusion, how do you reach? That's a choice we make every day. Diversity is already here. But can we reach out and touch the diversity? Can we bring it close? And I like the analogy of diversity is going to the dance and being accepted. You're at the dance, but you're just standing around. Someone walks up to you, takes your hand, and you're out on the dance floor. Now you're included. Now you're in the flow, in the moment. So Susan and I were on this trip to the Brazilian rainforest, and it was miles and miles and miles up the Amazon, which is about 100 miles wide because it was the flood season. And then we get off, and then we're in these little boats, and it's this retreat center, and then we're going to have this big ceremony in this longhouse. So like in the middle of the night, we're in this little canoe, it's about that wide, in this inky water. There's no electricity, there's nothing. We got a torch on the end of this canoe. I have no idea where we're going, totally lost. But somebody does, and I'm just completely surrendered. We end up hitting ground, and we can hear drums. So we walk up this little path with a few torches, walk into this longhouse, and there are these dancing going on. There's about 75 people here, and there's flute music, and it's exotic, and these smells, and the dust from the floor, this dirt floor, and wow. So I'm out of my comfort zone, immediately going, this place is going to burn down. Where's the fire door? You know, and I start settling in, and I'm becoming more comfortable. About 45 minutes into it, there's about six of these beautiful young ladies come out from the dancers, and they come out into the audience. And one's heading straight for me. How would you feel? You're in your growth mode. So she's heading straight for me. I'm going, no. She's coming closer and closer, and I'm kind of like. But when she touches my hand, something, there's a transmission there, powerful transmission. It's like, you're coming with me. And that's it. And it was not severe or heavy-handed or hard or anything. It was like certainty, just certainty with nothing other. You're coming with me. Okay. And so I'm now out in the circle, and the six other guys or gals were there. We're all looking at each other going, what do we do now? They hand us flutes, those pan flutes that you blow in from the Peruvian flutes. And we're expected to play and to dance, and the drumming begins. And it's like, I don't know how to do that. And I didn't know that something within me knew how to do that. That's the preach right there. Something within us, when we get out of the way, when we leave our baggage at the door, something within us has an idea of what's going on. It sort of knows what's going on in some way. This is what they call being in the zone. The musicians know this a lot. You know, all kinds of, like, lots of you know what that is too, is when the mind disappears and you're just present. So I pick up the flute, I go, oh. And finally I get a tone, and I figure out where the tones are, and all of a sudden, a melody arrives. Whoa! And with that melody comes, the mind is stopped. It's more interested in the tones and the vibration and what's happening than in my fear of looking stupid. And I'm delighted. And when I'm delighted, the whole world seems like it shifts. Ever notice that? So I'm delighted, the world has shifted, and I'm forgetting that I don't know how to dance. And all of a sudden, you know, we're just moving to the beat, and the dust is coming up, and I'm having a great time, and time stops, it disappears. Something, it's like when there is no mind, the world is great. As soon as the mind comes in, it judges, it evaluates, it has its opinions, it has its conditioning. But when it stops, it's precious. It's so precious. And there's nobody home. It's just the dance. The dance is moving. The music is coming. And it's seamless. And in that state, we danced our way right out through the door, out into the moonlight. And it was like, and the moonlight on the water, that, and the stars and everything, it was like, I don't know if I can take any more. It was like overwhelming. Just overwhelming. It's one of those peak experiences that you only need to do once. It's so powerful. And the power is that when we lose our minds, we come into harmony with the One. The mind really is, our thinking mind really is the barrier. Because it's thinking from the past. It's thinking from what has happened in the past. But when we drop that, we become present. And that's the gift. When we become present to what's happening now. So, without diversity, without saying yes, I would have missed a very, very valuable lesson. I can't imagine how many lessons I have missed because I didn't say yes. I said no. It's uncomfortable. I don't want to do it. I've done that before. I don't ever want to do it again. I'm not going to get onto that committee because that person is on that committee. And we know about that person. So, here we are. It's all diversity. When we really stop and look at it, it's all diversity. The question is how are we going to dance with it? Are we going to ask each other to dance? Are we going to play? Are we going to push back, push against our comfort zone and step out just a little bit, maybe a lot? And could we do that every day? Every day. Diversity is a fact, but inclusion is a choice that we make every single day. So I leave you again with, I want you to remember this, moving from our comfort zone to our growth zone. And so let's have our affirmation. You'll read this with me. Today I welcome all diversity in my life, for it challenges me, humbles me, uplifts me, and makes me a better person. And you know it's true.